From NPR News and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. There's this news today. One of Washington's most powerful officials is resigning, Michael Powell, the head of the Federal Communications Commission and son of Secretary of State Colin Powell. We'll have that story in our Marketplace segment. First, the lead. Following a short night of post-inaugural partying, President Bush attended a national prayer breakfast today and heard the Reverend Billy Graham lead prayers.
Our Father, we acknowledge your divine help in the selection of our nation's leaders throughout our history. And we believe that in your providence, you've granted a second term of office to our President, George W. Bush, and our Vice President, Richard Cheney. Their next 4 years are hidden from us, but they're not hidden from you.
The Reverend Billy Graham at the National Cathedral this morning in Washington. Joining us now is our regular Friday contributor, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams in Washington. Juan, welcome back. I guess the streets of the nation's capital feel a little empty.
The party's over. I got to tell you, the convention center, which is near National Public Radio's Washington headquarters, it has the feel of an empty hall. You know, it feels as if you can see all the decorations and the headwear and a few lost shoes, but everything's coming down in a rush. Everyone's off to the airport or the prayer breakfast that you just heard an excerpt from this morning.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about the president's speech yesterday. Our first impressions were that it was very strong on ideals of liberty and democracy, but pretty short on specifics, particularly about Iraq or the war on terrorism. Having had a day to think about it, what's your impression of what the president was trying to accomplish, and do you think he was successful in this speech?
Well, he was successful, Alex, in terms of the outlines, the broad themes that he was trying to articulate, and I think it's very clear. I don't think you have to have any second doubts about the notion that he believes that what he had previously connected, which was the 9/11 attacks to the war on terror, which was key to his reelection, he's expanded into an assault on tyranny worldwide. And the idea that if you don't support democracy in foreign lands, in fact, what you can have is a situation where terrorism then festers and comes back to threaten America here at home. And so that was an extension of his policies. The only thing that he really said that really struck me as policy-specific was that America has undertaken our obligations abroad that it would be irresponsible now to abandon. And I guess that suggested directly what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in Afghanistan. But in general, the reception from the political class in Washington has been that this was a Wilsonian speech, that President Wilson, if you'll recall, was a man who was involved with the League of Nations. Here is President Bush now suggesting that the first world nations of the Western world, if you want to think of it, have to come together in alliance to struggle against tyranny wherever it might be found. The inherent contradiction is, well, then why doesn't President Bush go after Saudi Arabia, Egypt, even China, Pakistan, which we judge in some cases to be allies, but which are, after all, authoritarian regimes?
Well, the president didn't talk much about specifics, as you say, but you had a conversation this week, I heard parts of it on Morning Edition, with Mr. Bush's senior advisor, Karl Rove. What in particular struck you in what Mr. Rove had to say? A lot of people credit Mr. Rove as being the strategist who's put Mr. Bush in position to hold this second term.
Well, you know, NPR listeners had a response, Alex, which was, why did you let Rove get away with saying that this president won with more votes than ever? But they said that's just a function of the fact that more people voted than ever, and were quick to pick up on that. But, you know, from Rove's perspective, I think he is feeling that this president does have some political capital, and that was his point. This president can go forward and take on issues like Social Security, even willing to take on people in his own parties who may be doubters.
When you're a big majority party like ours is, you're going to have disagreements. Hell, when you're a small minority, you have disagreements. But look, at the end of the day, I believe the vast majority of Republicans in the House understand the importance of modernizing Social Security and are ready to work with this president in doing so.
That's Karl Rove from your interview, Juan. Was that Wednesday that you spoke with him?
Yeah, from his office in the West Wing. He was busy, as everyone else, preparing for the big events of the inaugural week, but you had the clear sense that he has a lot more on his plate in terms of the politics of the second term. He's got a short window, Alex. Remember, basically, a second-term president is very quick to become a lame duck. they're looking at a four-month time frame to accomplish Social Security tort reform, to begin some kind of work with regard to looking at whether or not you can have health care reform, immigration reform. It's a very ambitious agenda at a time when the polls indicate most people in the country don't think anything's going to happen on Social Security and think that really if the president was in line with their priorities, he'd be looking more at needs of the poor. He'd be looking certainly at health care issues and lack of access to health care.
Juan Williams, NPR senior correspondent, regular Friday contributor on Day to Day. Juan, thanks again.
My pleasure, Alex.